You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hello, it's Mark Tuminelli, the host of the Little Me podcast. This episode you're about to hear was recorded on March 5th, 2020, when Presley Ryan had just taken over the role of Lydia in Beetlejuice on Broadway. Since then, as we all know, Broadway is on a break. It's been a very hard situation for so many artists, as well as people who work in the industry in any capacity. I want everyone to know that you're not alone and we're all feeling it, but I know Broadway will be back and better than ever. Now I invite you to come back to a simpler time when Broadway's lights are burning bright and Presley Ryan was starring in Beetlejuice. It's a fun interview and I hope it brings you some joy.
While you were skipping stones, building forts and flying kites, I was missing school and all my Saturday nights. Other kids were climbing trees and rolling down hills. I was singing songs to pay my family's bills. Little me, growing up Broadway. Little me.
Hello, welcome to the Little Me podcast with me, Mark Tuminelli. Because I own Broadway Workshop, I get to work with the most talented kids on earth. And when I first met our guest today, I knew I was in the presence of a huge star. She's here in the BPN studio. She's the star of Broadway's Beetlejuice, Presley Ryan. See, yay, if there's applause. I need an applause thing. I'm adding it in. How exciting is that? You're the star of Beetlejuice on Broadway. You're the lead in the hit Broadway musical. How is it going?
It's going great. It's definitely really exciting. I've always dreamed of being in a big show like this and being a lead role. So this is really, really cool. And it's still like, it's so surreal.
And so this all kind of happened pretty quickly that there was, you've been in the company from the beginning.
Yes.
And you were understudying the lead role of Lydia Dietz. Mm-hmm. And you were also understudying the Girl Scout, right?
Yes.
And you had a really kind of fun, weird ensemble track.
I played the jockey and some other parts too.
Can you, where would we have seen you if we saw Beetlejuice before you were the lead? Like, what other little moments?
Oh, okay. So I actually was a vocal booth singer. So like throughout the show.
Sha-la-la-la.
Yes, exactly. So throughout the show, during like all the different songs, I would sing kind of like just the ensemble vocals. And then I was in the choir. I was the jockey. I was the shrunken head at the end of the show.
Like you come out of the orchestra pit?
Yes. I was inside of the shrunken head. And then we had some like other little breaks throughout the show. But mostly, it was pretty busy, surprisingly.
Very exciting. And then you, the position opened up to play Lydia and move on up from your understudy track to taking over the role,
yes,
which you have done at the age of 16, yes?
Yes,
you just
crazy.
Turned 16.
Yes, like, December 1st.
Oh my God, so crazy. So you were the headlining a Broadway musical at 16, and like four people in the world can ever say they've done that. And I can't think of any of them right now. But so it's like a really big moment for you and also for teenage girls everywhere who think that, you know, want to do this thing and want to be on Broadway and they think there's no place for them because when you're a teenager, there's not a lot of work to do on Broadway.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
You have found, you have made magic happen.
Somehow.
So I'm sure every girl in your school wants to murder you and we'll talk about that shortly. Okay, so let's go back. You've been part of the Beetlejuice company since the workshop before DC, yes?
No, so I auditioned originally for one of the workshops. Turns out they didn't need me and I got called to do the show in DC.
So that was your first experience with Beetlejuice?
Yes.
So you went to DC, you guys tried out the show for how long?
I think we had like previews for about 5 weeks so we could rework everything. And then we opened and we ran the show for about 3 weeks and then we came here.
And what was the experience doing that there?
It was amazing. It was a lot of fun. I remember before I was cast in the show, I had watched one of the labs and since then it had been really my dream to like be a part of this show because I love Beetlejuice. I love the movie. So being a part of it in DC and like seeing a show like this come to life is something that I've never really been a part of. So it was definitely really cool to see that happen. And also like going to DC was cool too.
Because this isn't your first Broadway show. You were also a swing in the Broadway company of Fun Home.
Yes.
Which is my favorite musical ever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thrilled that you kind of started your career with that beautiful piece of art.
Yes.
And then now you're doing a different kind of musical.
Totally different.
Totally wild and different and crazy and huge. Fun Home being such a small, intimate show with like just furniture and an open theater,
yeah,
going to probably one of the biggest new musicals that we've had on Broadway in many seasons. What's it like to sort of do a show that large that has that many moving pieces? What is your experience there?
It's definitely, I've never experienced something like this before. We have such a big cast, a very big crew, and being like a small part of this show is, it's amazing. It's so cool. And in the rehearsal process, we actually had so much more tech than a normal show would actually require because of the big set that we have and all the different costumes and how big this show actually is. So it was definitely really cool to like see that come to life. And because it is such a big show now, it's definitely cool to like see how the world really like enjoys our show and relates to it. And it's cool to like be a part of this like huge show.
And also you turn around and you have like a huge house on stage and then it looks totally different 2 seconds later and then totally different 2 seconds after that. Like the show is so wild to watch as an audience member because it's like so visually dazzling. It's like,
yes, I've never actually like sat in the audience and watched it. So like, I'd actually want to see that. I have no idea what it's like.
It's very good. Everyone should see Beetlejuice. Yeah. Okay. So you're the understudy. You open on Broadway. How different is the show from DC where it started to the Broadway production currently running at the Winter Garden?
In Washington, DC, it was very inappropriate. Like we didn't really have our audience, I guess you could say. Like people would bring their like 5-year-olds and they would be traumatized. So I think reworking it towards Broadway, we've definitely like widened our audience and it's definitely become more centered around the movie because in DC it was kind of just like more about the fun and awesomeness
like
of the show. Yes.
Yeah.
And now on Broadway we kind of have more of a story, which I really enjoy. And also it's kind of takes a bigger focus on Lydia and her family and her mother.
And so is there songs that were changed or pulled out? And
yes, lots of songs are changed. Actually, in DC, I was an evil clown in the dinner party scene, which was actually cut. And now I'm the jockey, which wasn't a thing in DC. In DC, we had this whole like boy band and all these like football players, which we still have the football players, but like
they're
boy
the movie,
bands like
yeah,
sang like a pop song. It was actually really fun, but we changed it to Miss Argentina and all the dead characters.
And then Leslie, how did Leslie wind up playing Miss Argentina? Was that always part of her track?
It wasn't. Yeah. So originally she only played Delia. And then in rehearsals, it was originally played by somebody else and she was sick. So then Leslie was like, oh, I got this. I'll fill in. And they ended up really liking her.
It's so funny.
She made the role like her own. And she was like, this is mine.
It's so cool. It's like such a great moment in the show. And watching Leslie is
she's amazing.
A thrill. And we'll talk about her in a minute. So let's talk about the first time you went on. You did not go on for Lydia at all during the DC run, right?
No.
And so you had been doing the show for how many months in your ensemble track before you went on for Lydia? So you went on in July?
I'm counting. I went on in August 3rd, I remember. So we had opened in like April or March. So it had definitely been a couple months. And it was a 2-show day. It was a Saturday.
I remember
this day so much. We had a matinee. And then after the show, Rachel, who's one of our stage managers, she came in the room and she was like, Presley, exciting news. You're going on it. And I swear to God, I dropped my phone. I fell on the floor and I was like, what? Oh my God. Like, I guess I had been like waiting for this moment for so long. And like, once it had finally come, it was like, it was so unexpected and so crazy. And I was freaking out. I was so nervous. And I had dinner plans with my grandma, so I had to cancel those.
But she was at the show.
She ended up coming.
She was sitting right in front of me by herself because the show was sold out too. So like nobody could get in.
Yeah, it was hard. Like I had friends who had wanted to come and like people who had found out and they're like, wait, we have to come. Like, we don't know if you'll ever go on again. And then,
looks like it worked
out. But so they were all like trying to get tickets and they could not get tickets. I don't know how my mom ended up in there, but you did too.
I know.
I don't know how you
I went to the box office and I was like, I am Presley's teacher. I need to see her immediately. They're like, can we give Mark this ticket? And then they like gave me a great, I had a house seat. It was amazing. Great. Best money I ever spent, kid. You were brilliant. Tell me about what was going on in your head during that performance. Were you like very present? Did you know what was going on, or did it all feel like a whitewash of like 2.5 hours?
I think in like the first 45 minutes of the show, which is like dead mom through like no reason-ish, I was freaking out. Like on the inside, and everybody was like, Presley, you're so calm. And I was like, no, I'm not.
You look like you had done it like a million times. I couldn't get over that this 50-year-old girl was just like killing it and not scared and not shaking.
No, I was so scared. And then around Say My Name, that's kind of when I let loose and started having fun with the show. And I think one of the things about doing the show for the first time was I hadn't realized like what it was like having an audience. So like the audience would respond and they would laugh or they would be clapping and I would interrupt them with my lines and you wouldn't be able to hear my lines because I didn't really realize that that would happen.
You're not used to like the weight that you need.
Yes, so it was kind of like figuring that out.
So cool. And there was obviously a few great people there to support you that night. It just felt like the audience was so excited and it felt like everyone was coming around seeing the slip in the paper of this girl. And it's very clear that you're a kid. So
it was exciting.
It was just a really thrilling night at the theater. Let's talk about the audience a little bit. So Beetlejuice kind of started as a what we call a flopola on Broadway. People were not really in the like it wasn't the enormous hit that it's become. When did you realize that the show kind of kicked into high gear and people embraced it and were like, no, this is great. You're sold out every night.
Yeah.
It's a big hit show, but it didn't start that way.
No, for sure not. I definitely thought, though, this whole time, like, in the back of my head, I was like, oh, this is going to be a hit. I knew it would be a hit. So, like, I wasn't worried, but I think everybody else in our cast was. And so I think kind of midsummer, that's kind of when, like, our show really started to take off because everybody was out from school. People started to come see this new show.
And you had performed at the Tony Awards.
Yes. Oh, people loved the Tony Awards.
It was, like, a really big deal.
Yes, yes. And then I think there's been like a lot of factors. Our soundtrack came out. People all over the world could listen to these songs and have really fallen in love with them, which is really cool.
It's like the number one Spotify download. I don't know. It hit like some very big number download.
I think it was like 200,000 like million views. That's great. Or I don't know.
Downloads or plays.
Something. I don't know.
I don't know anything about the music industry.
No, me neither, but that's crazy.
And the music's so great. And what I have seen at Broadway Workshop is a lot of kids singing a lot of your songs.
Oh, for sure.
So we're hearing a lot of Dead Mom and Some Home. which song do you like singing more?
I think I like singing Home more. It's definitely,
it's a good song.
It's a really good song. It's really catchy. The first time I heard it, I fell in love with it. It's actually, it was in D.C. I thought it was.
There was a different song, though, in D.C. in the Dead Mom spot? Or
no, Lydia had three songs. There was Mama Wood also.
Okay.
It's like in the middle of the show.
You can save that for your cabaret.
Oh, for sure.
I'll direct it. Okay. So the show is like a big hit. And it's like happening every night. And then you guys kind of get this wild closing notice that the show would close at the Winter Garden. When is the show slated to close?
June 6th,
which is insane because you sell it every night. The show makes a lot of money, but you guys are closing to make way for The Music Man, which is not very exciting. But hopefully there'll be a future of Beetlejuice either at a different theater on Broadway or certainly a national tour.
Yes.
All that. How was that received in the building as far as getting your closing notice on a show that's like sold out every night and a big hit?
I think it was definitely really upsetting. We kind of had expected it. We had known like that something was coming, especially since there were like articles about
the Music Man coming in,
and the pictures were of our theater. So we kind of like had an idea, but I think it was definitely really upsetting. But I think that knowing that we have these months to continue doing our show and continue putting the show out there for the world, I think it's like nice to know that we still have a lot of time.
You have
time
all
left.
These opportunities to get to tell the story again.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So many young people who are seeing the show don't know the movie. It's not, I don't know. I don't think like a lot of people your age know the Beetlejuice movie, do they?
I'm not sure actually.
So they kind of come in with like a fresh experience and a love of these songs since they've been downloaded so much. And what kind of things happen at the stage door? Is there a lot of, we walked into the studio today and we had a kind of obsessive fan here, but what kind of experiences are you having at the stage door?
We have crazy, crazy, amazing fans. Our lines are like around the block sometimes, which is crazy. Our fans are amazing. They're so supportive.
And people like come in costume.
Yes, we have cosplayers. We have people dressed in black and white and stripes. So it's really cool to like meet these people and see them after the show. I think for me, I think it's really cool that people know who I am because of my TikToks, and people have seen me from Instagram and TikTok.
Well, let's talk about TikTok.
Kind of yes, okay.
Okay, right. All right, explain TikTok to the people who don't understand it, who are the over the age of 30, which is me.
Okay, so it's...
I mean, I know what it is, but...
It's an app. It's kind of like... So it used to be called Musical.ly, where you would make like all these dance videos and
stuff
like that.
Do you work for them?
What?
Do you work for TikTok? I feel like you like are
no,
CEO.
I just like answered this question a lot.
Okay.
So like then... It became TikTok. I don't know why it changed its name, and the app didn't really change itself. It just got
kinda
a
new
name.
Name. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know really when people started using the app. I think it was around a year ago. And basically, it kind of changed. People, the way that people started using the app changed. So people were making more dance videos and funny, creative content. And there's a thing called the For You page where you can scroll down. It's kind of like the Explore page on Instagram. And people from all over the world, you don't have to know them, but their videos will come up on your page. They're just like different popular videos. And their dances and creative content.
So what made you decide, I'm going to start doing TikToks backstage at my Broadway show?
So actually one day we were backstage and Alex Brightman was asking me about all the latest new trends. And so we'd been talking about things like different cool slang words and different stuff like that. And then he was like, wait, what about this thing? I heard it's like a new thing. It's called TikTok, right? And I was like, oh, yes, TikTok. And then so I explained it to him and he was like, yeah, we should make one. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the best idea ever. So it's kind of like Alex asking me to make one.
And you became the biggest TikTok star ever was. So like what happened that you just you're. Tell me what happened when it became like kind of big news that you like broke TikTok.
Well, I mean, it definitely took a little bit of time.
Like we made 2 weeks.
We made like 3 videos and then like this 4th video or something that we made, it just like went viral. I think it got like 20,000 likes and I was freaking out like watching this happen. And I think
what dance was that? What were you doing in that
big one? It was
like
the party, party, party.
Okay. Keep going.
I don't know the dance to it, but it was definitely like a really fun TikTok, and I think people really liked to like see us in costume doing these dances backstage.
And then the app broke because it had too many downloads. Like the app stopped working because it had too many downloads or something?
Yeah, it does that all the time.
Okay. This is not sponsored by TikTok.
No. But like it was definitely really cool to like see my videos getting on the For You page and seeing that people around the world were like seeing us making these videos backstage.
When I saw you at the Broadway flea market, there was like a line of people like donating money to Broadway Cares so they could TikTok with you.
Like, yes, that was so wild? Crazy. And that was like before my most viral video came out.
Ooh, so. Before your most viral video.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of working with Alex Brightman, tell us what it's like to work with him. He is so wild in the show and does crazy things and obviously is very smart and very fast. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to work with him every night now that it's your role.
I think it's definitely really cool. Alex, he has this like energy on stage that's like incomparable to anybody else's energy I've ever seen. He's always so into it and so focused, and I learned so much from him when I'm on stage doing this role. I see him and he's putting so much energy into the role and giving me so much to work with. He's so amazing to work with. And
does he change it up at all, or he keeps it?
He does change it up. He makes he says different jokes. He changes a little bit of his lines every now and then. But
so you have to like really listen and stay on top of it.
Yeah, it's definitely really cool to like see like what he's gonna change.
It's just like hard to be bored.
No, it's never boring.
Yeah, and you also get to work with like you have the best cast: Cary Butler, who's amazing.
Leslie Kritzer.
And Leslie Kritzer.
Dana Steingold.
You guys are so tight, right?
Yeah, me and Dana are best friends.
I love it. She's so good. And she plays the Girl Scout. Yes. And she's also the understudy. And she's also now your understudy.
Well, we were always understudies together,
okay,
so.
But, okay, we got it. All right, so how did you get Beetlejuice? Did you just have an audition appointment? Did your manager try to, like, how did it come about?
I got an audition for it through my agent. It just was like another audition that I went in for. And I went in for my audition and it actually went really well. So then I got a call back. And after that, I didn't hear back for a while. And we were like, oh, okay, I guess it didn't really work out. But I was really upset because I really wanted to do it. And then a month later, I got an email to go see the lab. And I was like, wait, what? Like, this doesn't happen. Like, I just auditioned. Why am I invited to watch the lab? And then a month after that, I got an offer and we were like, okay, great.
What did you do at the first audition?
I think I sang the Girl Scout and Dead Mom, and I did a scene from the show.
I love it. And did you feel like, you know, sometimes when we're talking to young people and they're auditioning, they're like, it went great. And did you feel like it went well in the room?
I felt like it went really, really well. Like, it was one of those auditions where you're like, okay, I have to get this.
Now you do, obviously you've also done like some film and TV. We're not done talking about Beetlejuice fans. Keep listening. But you've done some film and TV, which is very exciting. You're on Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Playing the young Natasha Lyonne character.
Young Nikki.
Did you feel like you had to do like a super raspy voice like mine?
Yes. No, that was definitely hard for me. I think my voice is a little raspier now. But when I was, it was like a couple years ago. And my voice was really, really, really high and like chipmunky. So for me to like get into that dark, gravelly place, it was very hard. And I remember I had an audition like the next day for Annie and I could not do it. It was like one of my worst auditions and I was so upset, but I was like, but I had to do the gravel and it ruined my voice.
But you did play Annie because I saw you play Annie.
Oh yeah, this is for a different Annie. I know. I didn't get that Annie.
Okay, well, you're the best Annie I've ever seen.
Oh, thank
I've
you.
Seen a lot of Annies. Believe me, you're just so charming and likable. And that was like a great production directed by our friend Antoinette DiPetropoulo.
Yes.
If you're listening, Antoinette. Yeah, you were so brilliant in that. And you were like super sick, but on and.
You always see me when I'm sick.
No, stop. now, okay, so you've done Annie. You're on Orange is the New Black. You're on Difficult People, which is a great show on Hulu.
Oh, yes. I just met Jane Krakowski the other day. She was in my episode with
so
me.
Fun. So download that. You did Grinch at Madison Square Garden. Yes. Mm-hmm. You were Cindy Lou.
Yes.
How was that?
It was a lot of, that was definitely one of the most fun shows I've ever been a part of. The set's really cool. The people, being an iconic role like Cindy Lou Who is definitely really cool. And the dances and the singing, it's a really, really fun show.
Have you seen that show again, like since you've not been in it?
Yes. Me and all the other Grinch girls I was in the show with, we went to go see it. At Madison Square Garden was like the production a year ago. And it was crazy to see watch it back and see the show.
Something that people might not know about you is that you're the understudy for two of the kids in the Sound of Music Live.
Yes.
What year is that? 2015?
No, it was before that. Okay. Wait, 2013 or 14?
So how old were you?
I think I was 9 turning 10.
Okay. So this was like the first of these live NBC musicals.
It was the first one, yeah.
So no one knew what they were like signing up for. And certainly you didn't know what you were going to do as a cover.
No, it was my first professional show or experience.
Tell us about that. Knowing that you're probably not going to do it because it's only one performance.
Yeah. I think I was so, so excited to be a part of this. It was the first professional show that I had ever been a part of, so.
Like a major TV show on NBC.
Yes, it was so exciting.
Carrie Underwood.
Yes, Roger I was McDonald's. Like, it was so cool. I didn't really know who all the famous people were at the time. Now I do. But we were in rehearsals for a while, and then we were on the set. It's definitely unlike any other experience that I've ever done before because it was for TV. And we had staged it on the set for, like, 2 months before the actual production. So, like, preparing for a live event is literally just like preparing for a show, but you only do it once.
And the cameras sort of follow you from room to room to room?
Yeah, exactly. There were like 8 different rooms.
And did they let you rehearse a lot? Like, were you prepared if you had to go? Obviously, we know you're always prepared to go on in any situation, but did you feel prepared at like 9 years old, standing by for 2 kids in a live TV show? It seems insane.
I mean, I think I was prepared, but like, probably not.
Did they give you guys, there was 2.
We had some rehearsals, definitely not as much as like we should have, but like we knew that we weren't going to go on unless there was some crazy, crazy emergency. So I think I was prepared, but knowing my 8-year-old self, probably not. Like I probably would have freaked out.
When you first started auditioning, well, how did it happen? Were you like, Mom, listen to me, I'm so talented, and start singing in the living room? How did we get from normal kid growing up to I want to start auditioning professionally?
Yeah, so ever since I was little, I'd always taken lessons and voice lessons. This has always been something that I would do for fun on the side. Like, I used to take cooking classes and all stuff like that. So this is just, like, another thing that I did. And it was really one of those things that just brought me the most joy, and it was the most fun for me to do. And I would sing in the shower, in the living room, and I would do these little concerts for my parents. And I used to take these classes at a studio in my neighborhood. And one of the ladies there, she told me that I should go audition for a Broadway show. So I went to the open call for Matilda. That was my first audition ever. And I got a call back. And that's when my mom was like, oh, maybe this is something that we could actually do. So ever since then, I auditioned for an agent. I did one of those agent showcases. Mm-hmm. I got an agent from there, and then ever since then, I've been auditioning. And
it's amazing.
Yeah.
What was your first audition song? Do you remember?
It was the one from Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. My New Philosophy.
Oh, yes. It's a good song for you.
Yeah.
Great. And so you just started auditioning. So if there's kids listening in, you just went to audition after audition until things start to happen. How many auditions did you have before Sound of Music, do you think?
Probably like 30 or 40.
Okay, so you were like going out there. And you did like voiceovers and you were kind of auditioning for everything.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have no idea. I'm just like guessing.
Yeah, that's
wild guess.
Wild guess. And then I want to tell my favorite Presley story is the day I first met you. You auditioned for the Addams Family of Broadway Workshop. We were doing this junior main stage production. Do you remember you were obviously wanting to play Wednesday Addams, which you played. But do you?
I know what I sang.
Tell the people what you sang.
I forget the name of the song.
I'm so excited.
I sang I'm So Excited.
By the Pointer Sisters.
Yes, which I didn't know, but like one of my teachers, Ellen Marsh, she's amazing.
We love Ellen.
Yeah, and she taught me the song. She was like, you have to sing the song. So I sang it, but in full deadpan. So I was singing about how excited I was, except like fully deadpan, like no life.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I was like, just give her the part. You're brilliant. It was like, but sometimes kids are afraid to take a chance like that, you know, and like go in and really commit to something. What kind of things allow you to like take those big risks? Because obviously you audition well.
Thank you. I find it fun and exciting. I like going in with like a song that I know that everybody else is going to sing. Like that doesn't excite me. Doing something different and unique and fun, that's kind of like what brings me the most joy and what makes me so excited to go into the audition room. And like I think I enjoy like taking risks and putting myself out there and doing things that I don't think that anybody else is going to do. Like I actually really enjoy doing that.
That's so fun. And that's like great advice for young people to try looking at songs in a different way. So yeah. They're not performing them the same way everyone else is doing.
Yeah, be unique, be different.
We love that. So now going from, you know, playing Lydia a couple of shows a week or, you know, having 2 weeks and not doing it, and now it's your role. How are you making it Presley? How do you see Presley in Lydia? If you were kind of figuring out, how are you putting your stamp on this part?
Well, I think that I can relate to Lydia in the fact that she is strange and unusual. I feel like there are different aspects of my life where I can really relate to her. And I try to bring those into my performance as much as I can. And also there are things like about her mom and when she talks about different things where she lights up. And I feel like I can really relate to that. And I have the heart that Lydia has when the light kind of shoots through the cracks.
I love that. And, you know, doing this, what kind of things are you discovering nightly now? Are there moments that you're like, oh God, I never really noticed this, or I didn't really think about this before today, or, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely trying to like pay attention more to like the story, because when you do it more and more, that kind of gets lost when you're doing it. So I feel like now that I'm doing it, I'm like, wait, I'm like standing on this roof right now talking to like a demon. Like, what's going on here? So I think like I'm starting to like discover more like what's actually going on and how crazy this is. So I think that that's kind of going into my performance a little bit more, in the sense that like it's kind of starting to be more realistic in a way. And I'm learning to be more goth and get that real angst of Lydia.
And how are you keeping yourself like vocally healthy and all of that? Because this is a huge sing. It's not like one little song and out. Like, you are singing. I mean, you have a huge, big voice, but you are belting very high and a lot of music. How are you keeping yourself like up for that and healthy and all that fun stuff?
Drinking a lot of water. I'm on my second Essentia right now. I drink a lot of coconut water. I have like a crazy like food before show thing. Like, I have coconut water, gummy bears, pineapple.
Did someone tell you gummy bears are like good for vocal health?
Gummy bears are good for your voice. They like, there's like, because like of the gelatin or whatever in them, like it's kind of like honey. Like,
guys,
it's like,
you heard it here first.
Soothing. I don't know. Honey, tea, lots of water, steaming. I go to physical therapy where I get like my voice kind of like massaged, I guess. I take workout. There's so much. But I've been doing that like since forever.
Like,
so
you're prepared. Okay, so you also got to perform at the Tony Awards, yes?
Yes.
And you do the Macy's Parade too?
Yes. That's you might have not seen me, but I was
but
like,
you're
in
there.
The shrunken head.
You're doing it in a shrunken head.
Yes.
Being a little kid who like loves theater and then getting to perform at the Tony Awards, was that like just mind blowing?
It was so cool. I've watched the Tony Awards since I was little, so being a part of that was really like a dream come true. I actually got to be a part of the opening number of the Tonys. So all the different like ensembles and people in all the different Broadway shows of the season were in that performance. So like being in the room with all those people was really, really, really cool.
Was there anyone you met that was very exciting to you?
Like Eva Noblezada. I don't know. But like, it was cool.
I love it. It's just like the wildest experience.
For sure.
Can you even just believe any of these things are happening?
No, it's like, it's hard for me to like kind of like think about it, because if I do think about it, I kind of get a little like freaked out, because it is like crazy and it's so much. And like, if I were to think about going on stage in front of all those people every night and like the fact that I was actually going to do that, I would probably not be able to go on stage.
So just write it out. Don't think about it too much. And you have to go
to. Try not to think about it.
Okay, so you're in 10th grade, yes?
Yes, sophomore.
And crazy. And so you have to go to like high school most days?
Yes.
You go to a performing arts high school, so they get what you're doing.
For sure.
For the most part. Are girls like so jelly of you, or are you like, or do they want to be your best friend? A little bit of both, probably.
I'm not really sure. I guess like if they are, nobody really talks to me about it.
Because ultimately you're doing what every 6-year-old girl is dreaming of doing, is like playing a great written role in a big hit Broadway show.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. I think sometimes in the hallway, people will look at me, but
they're like, that girl's big star. And how is it? How are you balancing school and taking on this big part?
It's definitely hard, because I do have to miss a lot for shows and different things like that. So I kind of just do my homework like when I get home after the show. And I miss a lot of work, but my teachers are really good about it. So I'm kind of behind, but
you'll catch
up. They're okay with it.
Summer's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll just be doing that all summer or not. Okay. So we have a couple of last couple things to talk about, and then we'll wrap up our time with you. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so thrilled
that you're having this amazing moment that you deserve so much. You're so good. Okay. So this is the part where we talk about what we're obsessed with.
Yeah.
So you think about something you're obsessed with while I talk about my obsession of the week, which is Derry Girls on Netflix. If you've not watched it, Presley, give it a watch. It's about these girls living in Derry in Northern Ireland. It is so funny. You have to watch it with subtitles because you can't hear what they're saying because they talk so fast and with the most wild accents ever. But trust me, you'll be obsessed with Derry Girls if you have any sense of humor in your life. All right, Presley, what are you obsessed with?
I am so obsessed with The Bachelor.
Ooh.
I'm watching it right now. Like, me and Dana, who's in the show also, we talk about it nonstop. Like, all the different people in the show. I follow them all on Instagram. I comment on all of their TikToks in all caps. Oh, my God. I am so obsessed with you on all of them.
Okay, so you love The Bachelor.
Yeah.
You don't have as much downtime in the show anymore.
No.
What do you miss that you're not getting to do anymore from your old track?
Oh, I used to be able to, like, eat snacks backstage, so that was fun. I had time to, like, watch Netflix and stuff like that, which I would do sometimes. And then I could do my homework backstage, which was actually really helpful because, like, I kind of needed that time. But
not anymore. So how long does it take you to get ready for the show?
It takes about an hour. I usually get to the theater an hour before the show because there's wig and makeup and all stuff like that.
What is your favorite thing in your dressing room? We're not up to the questions yet, but I just want to know that.
My dressing room.
Well, now you have a new one.
Yeah, true. my steamer.
Love your steamer. Are you weird about doing the exact same thing before every show, or you're like, cool, I can just...
No, I'm not cool about it. I'm very weird and very annoying about it.
Like, you have to do things in the same order and things like that?
Yes.
That's
not like the same order, yeah. But like... Definitely, like, with my warm-up and things like that, like, I'm very specific about, like, the things that I need to do to make sure that I have a good show.
That's so cool. How do you check to see if you are ready? Like, oh, do I have all the notes today? Am I ready to do it? Is there, like, a check-in you have with yourself?
I mean...
You know if you can...
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like, not really.
That's great. All right, we're going to hit our Broadway workshop quickfire questions.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, this will be a very high-level podcast with music... I don't know. Forget it. Okay. So I'm going to ask you some quick questions. Just answer them the best you can. Have you seen the Beetlejuice movie?
Yes.
Favorite holiday?
Tanaga.
Do you think Lydia Deetz would be best friends with Wednesday Addams?
Sure.
First Broadway show you saw?
Shrek.
Last Broadway show you saw?
Moulin Rouge.
Did you have braces?
Yes.
Have you ever been in Gypsy?
No.
Beetlejuice or orange juice?
Orange juice.
You should say Beetlejuice.
Sorry, Beetlejuice. Take back.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how annoyed were you that you weren't Matilda?
Oh my God, 10.
Okay. What do you want on your bagel?
Cream cheese.
Fill in the blank. I wish I could see Leslie Kritzer play...
Elphaba.
Fill in the blank. I wish I could see Alex Brightman play...
Pass.
We'll come back to it. Best opening night gift?
Utensils for my dressing room.
We asked how long does it take you to get ready, which is about an hour. Favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Samoa.
Did you audition for The Music Man?
No.
What role should Patti LuPone play in Beetlejuice?
Delia.
Did you watch Glee?
First 2 seasons.
How many Broadway shows has Carrie Butler been in?
Like 18?
It's 12. But
oh, close.
It's high. What was your first audition song? I think you answered that. It was...
My New Philosophy.
Yes. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Are you afraid of costume characters in Times Square?
Yes.
Dead Mom or Pulled?
Dead Mom. No, I don't know. Dead Mom. Okay.
Do you watch any shows on Bravo?
No.
Can you name 2 Real Housewives?
No.
Okay. Favorite song in Beetlejuice?
Beautiful Sound.
Have you ever left a show at intermission?
No.
Who would you want to play in Mean Girls?
Regina or Janice. I don't know.
What movie?
Anything.
Okay. We love Mean Girls. What movie could you watch over and over again?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Weirdest gift you ever received at the stage door?
a picture of somebody else and their family.
Okay, that is weird. If you could only listen to one Broadway cast recording, what would it be?
Mean Girls.
If you could be in any Broadway show tonight other than yours, what would it be?
Mean Girls.
All right, you hit it all. Good job, Presley. Thank you so much for being here.
Where do people find you?
Like on TikTok, what is your handle?
Yes, on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Prez Ryan with a Z.
We'll find you. This is also my PSA to let kids and parents know to not sing Dead Mom at auditions or classes. It just doesn't work in your favor. It is a really not a, it's a great song in the show, but a bad song in class. You don't have to jump in, but it's true. So I'm going to keep reminding people that on this podcast. Is there anything else coming up that we could see you at? Are you doing anyone's concerts or it's just Beetlejuice 8 shows a week?
Beetlejuice 8 shows a week, but Inside Edition is going to be doing a feature on me. So you can look at that to see what my day in my life will be. So you can
get that press, Presley.
Yeah.
Remember to subscribe to the Little Me podcast, rate it, like it, tell your friends, and all that fun stuff. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Mark Tuminelli on Instagram and that Tuminelli on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Presley. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to come back and see you in the show. And thanks for spending a little time with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, listeners. This podcast is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and the Broadway Podcast Network, and edited by Derek Gunther. For more information on the Little Me podcast, go to bpn.fm/littleme. And follow me on Instagram at Mark Tuminelli or on Twitter at That Tuminelli. And for more information on workshops, classes, and everything Broadway Workshop, go to BroadwayWorkshop.com. Thank you for listening.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.